Okay, thanks very much, Carl. And first I should acknowledge my co-authors, TQ Zhang, also from Agriculture Canada in Harrell, and Kevin King with USDA ARS in Columbus, Ohio. The key to any good presentation is depending on people who are smarter than you are. And I'll say up front, I'm not a modeler. I know enough about models to be dangerous. But my hobby is poking holes in models, so try not to throw things at me when I'm going out. And I'm looking at using a model really in a p-index context. How do we predict what the losses are for predicting on a field scale how much P is moving through tile drains to surface water? Because that's a big hole in most p-indexes right now, is accounting for tile drains in a rational way. So how much is moving through, or what is the risk of phosphorus moving through those tile drains? So that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to get to. And going in, I'm going to make some pretty broad assumptions. The modelers will have to forgive me because every modeler does this. And the dangerous modelers are the ones who've forgotten they've made assumptions. I try to keep those out front. So first one is now I'm coming from a Great Lakes Basin context. It maybe doesn't work when you get down to the Delmarva Peninsula, but from a Great Lakes perspective, phosphorus movement through the soil matrix is pretty limited. Won't be zero, but it's going to be a lot less than what's coming through the macro pores. You know, one or two orders of magnitude less. Perhaps to the point we can ignore it, or at least to account for it differently. We have to treat it differently from macro pore flow. And that both particulate and dissolved P are going to have to be accounted for moving through those macro pores. It's not just a dissolved P issue. So those are the assumptions going in. So if I'm wrong, it's because my assumptions are wrong. Back up a little bit. Why are models important? As I said, I'm not a modeler. The math makes my head hurt, so I try to leave that to others. If I am a modeler, it's at the perceptual stage, trying to figure out what is going on. We can't measure everything. We haven't got the resources. We've got less resources now than we had 10 years ago. We need models to extend our knowledge and to be able to apply things in areas where we aren't doing measurement. They are necessarily a simplification of the real world. We give up something to do that, but it can also help us to understand the processes that are happening. And since models have been proposed as tools to validate the p-index, you know, we can't measure everything. We want to know if the p-index is working. We'll use a process-based model to do that. If our process-based model isn't modeling what's happening correctly, yes, we can have a good fit between the p-index and the model and still not reflect what's happening in the real world. So we want to try and make sure the models at least have a chance of being correct. So if we're going to use a model, what questions do we ask going in? Where do we start? Well, does it match our perceptual model of what's going on? Does it capture the processes that we think are happening in the soil in a way that's relevant to, in this case, phosphorus movement to tile drains and out to surface water from there? Is it at the right scale? No. A watershed model probably doesn't do a good job at the field scale. A field scale model may not connect at all to what's happening at the watershed scale. Does our model match the scale we want to work at? In model speak, the next stage is the conceptual model. You know, once we've got something that matches our perceptual model or our worldview, can you actually characterize that mathematically? And does that correctly match what's in our perceptual model? Is the math right? Sometimes it will be. Sometimes we'll have situations like Richard Skaggs, who said, "You know, I'm going to spend my career avoiding the Richards equation because it's hard." Well, maybe buried in the Richards equation, or maybe some other equation, is what we needed to have. So if you aren't accounting for things properly, the way you do the math, it's not going to work right. And then there's also compromises made when you take that math and you actually put it into code. Somebody says, "Yep, I can do this, the math is right, but I need these six parameters that I have no measurements for, so we'll do an estimate." And if the estimate's good, you're golden. And if the estimate's good for Idaho and you're trying to model in Iowa, just because they both start in I, they may not match up. So do those compromises actually work or not? Or have they negated all the good things in your conceptual model? So anyway, back to the perceptual model. In my head, how is phosphorus getting to tile drains? What do I think is happening? You know, it's raining, we get some runoff. And in my worldview, I tend to simplify things pretty much, if we treat phosphorus in tile drains largely as diverted surface flow through macropores flowing directly to the tile, I think we're probably pretty close. In the picture here, you can see I've got the mouse working. There we go. You know, move back up. That's the danger of these. The green lines have said that's water that is desorb phosphorus from near the surface, that shallow interacting layer with the surface. But once you start to infiltrate into the soil, there is probably, as it flows through the soil matrix, a lot of that phosphorus gets tied up, and what's flowing through the soil matrix does not have a lot of phosphorus left in it. So you've got water that's flowing directly through large macropores from the surface down to the tile, carrying a fair bit of phosphorus with it on a relative scale, and water that's infiltrated through the soil matrix that's got very little phosphorus with it. You know, and what started out with a fair bit of phosphorus now has less. As it infiltrates down through the soil, some of that matrix flow will get pushed into the macropores. I'll come back to that later. Some models do a good job of predicting that part of it. There'll be some of that matrix flow that will flow, you know, percolate down through the soil and then directly into the tiles. So what you get in the tile drain is a mix of this macropore flow with a fair bit of phosphorus in it, and the matrix flow that's got a lot less. Are you with me so far? That's my picture. And there's some evidence out there. This is some work that Kevin King has done in Ohio, showing where you get a storm event. There's a peak in phosphorus concentration coming out of the tile water that corresponds very nicely with the peak of the hydrograph. Okay. So we'd say, yep, that's probably how the phosphorus is getting there. It could be a crack. It could be an earthworm channel. So if our model is going to predict what's getting into the tile, we need to know, okay, what proportion of that surface water is being diverted down through the macropores and directly into the tile? The other water getting to the tile doesn't really count, in my mind, as far as predicting phosphorus loss. So how do the models work? You can throw stuff at me later, Muhammad. DrainMod doesn't do it. Now, I wasn't aware of the Workman and Skaggs. You put that up, and I thought, oh, crap, I've missed something. And then you said, but they didn't put the code in. So I'm not wrong.
Actually, there is a code.
But it's not released.
Yeah, but it's not in this.
It's not in this, yeah. So the way DrainMod sits out there right now, it says, yeah, everything percolates through the matrix. Macropores, yeah, you have a higher Ksat, so it percolates through the matrix a little faster. It does not differentiate at all between macropore flow and matrix flow. So if you're going to look at drain mod as saying, yeah, we'll nail what phosphorus getting to the tile, I don't think so. Okay. The other big one out there is macro, designed specifically to deal with macropore flow. Yeah. I had great hopes for this until I looked at how they deal with tile drains, because they talk about tile drains. You read in the description, it says, with tile drains, we assume that tile drains influence the depth of the water table. End of discussion. No, they specifically exclude direct connection between macropores and the tiles. Everything's matrix flow. Is macro going to do it? I don't think so. Hydrus? Yeah. Hydrus, Hydra, the many-headed beast. I'll admit, I don't know this one as well. I don't know this one as well. And there, from what I have been able to read about it, there's lots of ways you can model stuff. And so it will model direct from the surface, water pushed from the matrix into the macropores, water from the macropores back out into the matrix. It appears it has the capacity, depending what equations you choose. And that's the trouble with lots of choices. So if somebody chooses inappropriate equations, it's not going to be able to do it. So this is one that, you know, maybe. So coming to the conclusions, there's a lot of models out there that were probably correct for the original purpose, but they've been repurposed and may or may not do things correctly. And often they've been repurposed without someone looking at what the underlying assumptions were and whether they're actually able to do what they want them to do. Drain mod and macro, I'll say up front, are not capable of predicting the fraction of macropore flow that will carry P to tile. Unless we get the Workman and Skaggs paper dragged back out and actually get that into the code. Then there's a chance. I'll say Hydrus, it may be done in the background. I haven't seen it in the literature yet that anyone has done a calibration to say that you could actually do that. So there's a lot more work that needs to be done. There is some work that's been initiated in Ohio, Ontario, Quebec, and Nova Scotia. Kevin King's work in Ohio, and Doug, I think you're involved as well, is trying to quantify that differentiation between matrix and macropore flow, pulling out of both the matrix and macropore through the lysimeters, and then what's in the tile, and using n-member mixing models to differentiate between matrix and macropore flow. And then Ontario, Quebec, and Nova Scotia, we've got research plots and field sites, both through the university and through Canada, a range of production systems and soil types, instrumented to capture tile volumes and water samples for analysis. Some of them we also have surface water, not all of them, but most of them we have surface water as well. And then analyzing for P fractions and the cations, again, to do the end member mixing to try and do that differentiation so we can get a better picture. And at that, I'll take any questions if there are any. Thank you.
We have about a minute for questions.
I think you're right on. You know, I'm thinking more kind of high dose. I don't know anything about it. But it would be a site-specific calibration. I guess the way you would go for it would be if you had some good data sets and you knew why these systems were different, and maybe running hydrous, seeing what it took to calibrate it. And we try to say, okay, how can we simplify that and get that into a lot like MI or something like that?
Yeah, or even simplify it further to use in a P index.
I think you're right. There's some, you know, I think it's almost like you need a little mixing layer, right, where you have a solid concentration of P, and then you're going to divert some of that through the macropore to the drain, and then maybe, then you're going to have a slow moving front through the matrix. And does that just have to reach the drain to have an input, or are you going to have some of that bleeding off or something? But,
It'll take some time, and it's going to take a change in the way we measure things. I've been disappointed looking at the literature and the number of studies that have tried to characterize macropore flow with a solute like chloride or bromide. We say, yeah, you can identify the breakthrough, and that's probably macropore flow.
And you really didn't talk about the particulate. Well, salt, right?
If it's, yeah, and I think I think the assumption would be if it's diverted surface flow, that because you're going to have very limited interaction with the walls of the macropore, particularly at the start of a drainage event, you'll have both particulate and dissolved fractions moving through those macropores to the tile. But if you're trying to characterize the end of the tail of the hydrograph with a non-reactive anion like chloride, you can't tell what's coming through the matrix and what's coming through the macropore. So we need to change up the way we do things. Anyway.
I think we have time for discussion later, so we can
continue.
Okay, thank you very much.